Welcome to Investigative Post's Natural Matters, a podcast dedicated to environmental issues in Western New York. I'm Phil Gambini, environmental reporter with Investigative Post. Environmental Advocates of New York is an Albany-based lobbying organization that works on environmental issues at the state level. Every year, the outfit's sister organization, Environmental Advocates Action, grade state legislators on their environmental voting records. That is, how they vote on the bills environmentalists want and how they vote on bills environmentalists oppose. Today I'm talking with Peter Iwanowitz, Executive Director of Environmental Advocates, about how Western New York's delegation scored and about his organization's priority in the coming year.
Why don't you start by just sort of introducing the organization and telling people a little bit about the work that you folks do.
Sure. Thanks, Phil. Great to be with you, and congrats on the launch of this podcast. It's an important venue and a great resource for people. So Environmental Advocates Action has been around for about 50 years, and we have been at the leading edge of engaging with state lawmakers on basically any environmental issue that has come up in that time. And one of the things that we do really well is we track what legislators in Albany are doing literally week in and week out that they're here in Albany and in legislative session, passing bills and taking votes. And then at the end of every legislative session, we go in there and rate them how well they did. And we have a score card that you mentioned gets issued every fall. So we do it regardless of whether there's an election coming up. We just want to brief the New York electorate, those that are particularly interested in environmental issues, where their lawmakers stood on key issues of the day.
Two of our local lawmakers, State Senator Robert Ort and Assemblyman David DiPietro, ranked low on that list of scores. How did they do?
Well, they were amongst the lowest scores, in this last scorecard on the Assembly side and the Senate side. We are tough graders and sort of give people a failing grade if they're sort of below, 70. Both of these members scored, well below that. And I think our biggest concern is that they just seem to be out of step with the environmental and health imperatives of what it means to be actually strong on the environment. You know, when you have water that makes people sick, when you have air that's too unhealthful to breathe, and a climate crisis that's here, I think most New Yorkers are expecting their legislators to vote on issues that improve their health, regardless of party. And for the most part, we see the majority of the New York State Legislature doing that. But there are, outliers like Senator Ort, who's now in a position of power, being the minority leader in the Senate. And I think, the public would be pretty shocked and should be shocked when they read the scores and their scorecard of just how awful these votes are.
Several other local Republicans from the area were awarded among the worst scores in the state. What does that tell us about the local GOP compared to the majority of their legislative colleagues, their fellow party members in the state legislature?
It seems like the Western New York members of the GOP tack more to the extreme anti-environment, anti-science, climate-denying wing of the National Republican Party. When we look at, downstate New York, there are many members of the Republican Party who score quite well on our scorecard, both in the Assembly and the Senate. And even somebody who does have an extreme approach on a range of issues, she's now in Congress, Representative Malliotakis. When she was a state assemblywoman, I mean, she voted for legislation that would essentially put New York on track to reduce our use of fossil fuels 100% by 2050. So this is a member of what I would consider the right wing of the Republican Party, but on environmental issues, coming from Staten Island, she understands that this is a core value and what it means to be on the leading edge of the climate crisis and the public health crisis and environment. So she voted for what has now been known as the most progressive and nation-leading law, the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, and so did some of her colleagues on Long Island. So when you juxtapose that to where Western New York is, I can just express my concern that Republican members in Western New York are really towing the line of the extremist point of views of the fringe of the Republican Party nationally. And it should be troubling to a lot of people, because I don't think that's where the value set of most New Yorkers are, both Republicans and Democrats.
Can you talk more about that, Peter? You say it's not where you think the public is. What do you see in terms of public polling? Is there that division of pro-regulation versus anti-regulation between Republicans and Democrats at the local level?
I've looked at polling over the last 10 years, and what I find that there's a, you know, a hard base of about 20% of the public, and most of them are Republican and male, who tack into the anti-regulation frame, who buy into the, you know, that strong environmental standards somehow kill jobs. We have had 40 plus years of history under the Federal Clean Air Act to disprove that. You can reduce emissions and grow the economy. We're doing it as we exist today. So about 20% is just hard and by that sort of rhetoric in line. I'm more heartened by the polls recently showing more people in New York and across the country, regardless of party lines, understand the climate crisis is happening and no longer deny that it's happening and understand that humans are actually causing it. And just more recently this week with the events happening in Washington, D.C., we saw the National Association of Manufacturers, you know, step into the breach. And this is a very conservative group. And call for President Trump, who has been their ally in anti-regulations. They want him out. So I think, you know, what people are understanding finally is this fringe of the Republican Party that has aligned themselves with this anti-regulation approach is no longer where the party needs to be. They need to be proactive, pro-environment, and understanding there's inherent economic opportunity and good jobs to be created through strong, clean water, clean air, and climate regulation.
Just to zoom in on a particular aspect of that answer, Peter, are Western New York representatives voting in step, do you think, with their constituents' interests?
No, they're not. I think they're absolutely not. I think in general, the public wants to be able to turn on their faucets in their kitchen and be able to drink tap water without worrying about chemical contamination. And I think most people want to wake up every day and breathe air that's clean and not going to trigger either an asthma attack, second heart attack, or something worse like cancer or lead to premature death. And when they understand the science, they understand what's involved, they are deeply supportive of regulations that will protect their health and their family's health. We find this across party lines. There are conservative areas of New York State that have woken up in the last 5 years and realized that the chemical company down the road polluted their water supply and their health and their children's health is now at risk. They're getting blood tests for chemical contamination. They're seeing their legislators and, you know, aggressively act new standards to require testing, to require minimum concentrations of these pollution in water. This has all happened in New York State over the last 5 years. And to see the Western New York faction continue to be out of step, where even Republican members of the state Senate and the Assembly over the last 5 years have enacted tough new standards and new policies and programs to protect public health, it's really disheartening. And that's why I say it concludes to me that they're just totally out of step with where people are in New York State about valuing a healthy environment, the right to clean water and clean air.
Last year, or I should say 2019, was characterized by your organization as among the most historic in the state's history as it related to the passage of environmental legislation. How'd 2020 stack up?
2020 was actually a challenging year. You know, that's the understatement, I guess. It was challenging in so many different respects, but it was challenging for those of us who are trying to advance environmental protection. But it really was a good follow-up year. The legislature took a pause for a number of months. They came back into session this summer to do what we effectively call the pop-up one-week session. And during that one-week time, they passed legislation that would reduce pesticides being used by state agencies. They passed legislation that would adopt a New York State protections for streams. Unfortunately, the governor, due to budget concerns, decided to veto that legislation. There were a number of key bills that were done to protect New York's environment, even in the midst of the pandemic. So the legislature really understood that the public was hurting. The public was, you know, grieving loss and dealing with COVID and economic fallout from the pandemic. But the public was also wanting them to advance the ball on key environmental protection. So this year, New York State legally instituted its fracking ban, but it also extended that fracking ban so that we wouldn't be dumping out-of-state fracking waste into unlined landfills or municipal landfills, that we'd be treating it as hazardous waste. So there were a lot of key advancements going forward. There were appropriations for clean water programs, you know, and a deep appreciation in the legislature that even though we're in the middle of a pandemic, that we still needed to move the ball forward to protect our environment. And what I'm heartened by, you know, honestly, Phil, is that protecting the environment for many New York legislators is equally as impactful in terms of creating good jobs. And that's really important. Strong environmental standards, like money going in to help like the city of Buffalo fix its clean water infrastructure. Grant programs, not only is it going to provide clean water, but these are great jobs, good paying union jobs, I should add. So they understand and appreciate that. We saw a lot of that in 2020. So it wasn't the banner year we saw in 2019, but you have to understand that was, you know, pent up energy for the last decade of inaction by a Republican controlled Senate that got cleared off the books. So it was a great year and a wonderful high watermark. But 2020 was equally as important. And we're looking forward to a lot more in 2021 from this legislature.
How did environmental advocates calculate the scores?
So Environmental Advocates Action puts out the scorecard, and it's based on the organization's sister organization, positions that they take during the legislative session. So every day, environmental advocates, our sister organization's team of lobbyists, review bills that have been introduced. And when they start to move through the process, end up on a committee agenda, we weigh in on those bills that are related to the environment. And when we decide to take a position at that organization issues a memo in support or opposition. Last couple of years, we've issued mostly memos in support of bills because bad ideas aren't getting through the process anymore. And when we issue a memo, if it's beneficial for the environment, we give them a rating of a tree. And if they're super beneficial to the environment, there's a 3-tree rating. So we have a little bit of a weighting in how important and beneficial bills are to the environment. Either we give it a 1, 2, or 3 tree rating. On the negative side, if it's detrimental to the environment, they get a smokestack rating. And most people in the legislature are keyed in. They want to avoid us smokestacking their bill. And it's 1, 2, or 3 smokestacks. You can imagine if it's a really awful piece of legislation, they'll get a 3 smokestack. And then that gets fed into Environmental Advocates Action's scorecard. So when bills that are given a tree or a stack rating appear on the floor via the Assembly or the Senate and are voted on, that's what leads to the score. So if you're voting against something that we've issued a tree rating on, that hurts your score. If you're voting for it, that helps your score. The same thing on smokestacks. If you vote for a smokestack bill, that's going to hurt your score. If you vote against it, that'll help your score. I'm happy to say in the last 2 legislative sessions, no bill with a smokestack rating has gotten to the floor of either the Senate or the Assembly for a vote. So we've had a smokestack-free scorecard since the Democrats took control of the Senate, and we expect that to be the same thing in 2021.
For people who hear the word lobbyist or lobbying and say, maybe see it as a pejorative, how do you explain Environmental Advocates Action's work? What do they do?
Yeah, I understand that it's pejorative, but that's what I am. I'm a lobbyist on behalf of the public. We're a not-for-profit organization. We totally understand that our mission is about improving and educating public health. And the portion of my time that I spend educating lawmakers of what they should and shouldn't be doing on the environment, I'm pretty proud to be an environmental lobbyist. People should understand it just flows from the term of having people in literally the lobby of the legislature working to beat back bad proposals that polluters are putting forward and their members in the legislature that they've convinced to do this stuff. And you need a person in the room, so to speak, riffing off of Hamilton. And I hope people are happy that there's an organization and are many organizations that have staff that actively participate in the legislative process and are, quote, lobbying members of the legislature to do the right thing. So while broadly it's pejorative, I think when people understand that there are folks that work in a not-for-profit organization and dedicate lives and time and energy. And for me, I've been doing this nearly 30 years in Albany, all for the sort of the broader altruism. I hope they understand that there's a core of people who are lobbyists who are in there to do the right thing, understand how to mobilize the public and speak their voice. And, I know what the levels of pollution were when I started this work in 1993, and I know what they are now. And I know some of the things that I got to work on over the course of that time, both inside government and outside government, have reduced the disease and suffering of the 20 million people that call New York home. And everybody who's downwind of us is breathing cleaner air because of things that I've been personally involved in. So I'm happy to be described as an environmental lobbyist, because I know literally on the public health side, the body count that's associated with dirty air and how lives have been benefited because of some of the things I've had been the privilege to shape and work on over that 30 years.
You mentioned earlier in the conversation that despite the legislature's approval of the stream protection bill, when it got to the governor's desk, it was vetoed. The governor expressed concern about the financial implications of that bill in light of the pandemic. How do you expect the pandemic's economic impact on the state will affect the passage of future environmental legislation 2021 and beyond?
Yeah. Well, first, let me just say that there was a mistake. That was a mistake to veto that bill. And we're hopeful that the legislature will work with the governor to figure out the right funding needed to do it. And the reason why it was a big mistake is because the federal government had rules in place under the Obama administration to actually protect streams. the great waters of the United States rule would have done that. And New York State legislature decided after Trump, you know, rolled back that standard to adopt our own version of it to protect our own streams. So I think it was a big mistake. I understand the fiscal considerations that are pressing on the state right now. So I applaud the governor for finally being honest and saying, we can't do more with less, because that's been the mantra of this administration since its inception, is that we do more with less, more effective. And I think they were finally honest in saying we can't take on more work with the level of staffing we have now. Our biggest concern is that the environmental staffing levels could get caught as a response to the pandemic. I am hopeful now that we're going to have a Democratic-controlled U.S. Senate, that there'll be greater sensitivity in the Senate now than there has been in the last years of the plight of state and local governments. And we will see significant funds flow to the states over the next few years to address the impacts that the pandemic has had on our budget. So our hope now is that we'll get a real stimulus bill out of the Senate. We won't have a Mitch McConnell-led one. We'll have a Chuck Schumer one. And monies will flow to New York that will no longer require us to be cutting back either staffing or environmental protections. And our budgets will be in a better place. That should free up the ability for us to do things like stream protection in the future, get more aggressive on hiring staff to implement our new climate law, and to help local governments recover from the pandemic's impact as well, so that they can stretch their staffs to get involved more deeply in what it means to the city of Buffalo and all local governments to appreciate, you know, the climate law and what they need to do to protect us from climate change.
I don't know if Environmental Advocates Action is at this point yet, but has the ranking or the hierarchy of legislation been determined yet? Do you folks have a most impactful bill or most impactful series of bills and most detrimental identified?
Yeah, most detrimental, no. I mean, you know, we watch things and keep an eye on things and work to beat back any fires when they pop up. But yeah, we do have priorities, and our key priorities for 2021 that flow from our sister organization, Environmental Advocates, are second passage of the Environmental Bill of Rights. This is going to be an interesting one, and I hope we can talk further on it, Phil. New York State is on the precipice of sending to voters this fall a question on the ballot that will be, should New York State adopt a right to clean water, clean air, and a healthful environment? While morally and sort of humanly we all think we have that right, legally we don't right now in New York. There's nothing in our Constitution at the state level to provide that right. In 2019, the legislature gave first passage. The Constitution says, after there's an ensuing election, the second legislature also has to concur. And I'm happy to tell you that that bill is on a committee agenda for the first day of session in 2021. So Monday, that's going to get moving, and that's going to be really exciting. So that's a key priority. We want to see also enactment of the Climate Community Investment Act, which is a broad-based polluter penalty that will fund the just transition that we're going to need in this state as we completely unwind all sectors of our economy from fossil fuels. So those are just two of the key bills that we were working on. We're also going to fight like heck to make sure that environmental funding doesn't get cut when the governor proposes his budget later in January. And we'll fight throughout the budget negotiation process in between now and April 1st to make sure that there are funds flowing back to the environment rather than cuts to the environment this year.
Okay, Peter.
That's Natural Matters for this week. You can track Environmental Advocates' work at eany.org and keep coming back to investigativepost.org for our deep coverage of issues of importance to Western New York.